Revelation chapter number 3, we're going to be discussing the church of Laodicea tonight, and as I said before we even got started, this is a church that I've heard several messages preached on and may have even preached it before myself, but as we look into this scripture, there's some good things in this scripture that I think can lead us into just maybe 2 or 3 weeks of discussing this church and some things that was going on here and maybe some things that we can learn from the Laodiceans. And I was doing some studying and looking at this Laodicea, and this was an actual church, and it also represents a church age. It also represents, you know, the kind of the stage that churches can be in. And as we look at the church of Laodicea and this area where the Laodiceans were, that Laodicea was a place that was very busy. It was a very commercial type place. There was a fabric, a wool that was made here and clothing that was made here that made Laodicea a very profitable place. There was a lot of very profitable farmers. There was a lot of very profitable merchants that was here in Laodicea. And Laodicea was a very busy place. And as you look, it was a great city, a city of wealth, just a real busy place. And they was manufacturing this clothing out of the wools, and there was also an eye salve that was made here in Laodicea that they shipped to all different kinds of places. I'm going to call some people down here in a minute. So, as they were here in Laodicea, they were making this eye salve, but as time went on, and now that they have the ability to go back and test this eye salve that was being made in Laodicea, they realized that this eye salve that they were making and shipping everywhere and getting rich off of had absolutely no healing properties in it whatsoever. It was just some clay that they were shipping out. Now, also here in Laodicea, they didn't have a really good fresh water supply, and they have went back and in the ruins, or they have looked at Laodicea, and they see where they were trying to pipe in water into Laodicea, but they did have hot springs here in Laodicea, but that water was not fitting for them to drink. It had a lot of bacteria and different things in it. So that's kind of gives us a background of Laodicea and this letter that is written. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." So it's pretty evident right here who this letter is coming from, but I like here the part that says the faithful and true. See, the Laodiceans is fixing to get a good dose of truth, whether they want it or not. The Laodiceans is fixing to get a letter written by God and sent to them that is going to be full of truth, it's going to be fair, and it's going to be true. Now, a lot of times we don't like the truth. A lot of times we can't handle the truth. A lot of times, you know, there are people in our lives that if you ask them a question, they're going to give you the truth whether you like it or not. And there's some of us that we think that we have to tell people the truth whether it's really our business to tell the truth or not. We think we have to give our opinion a little too much. But anyway, as you're looking at the Laodiceans, it says here, this letter is written, and it is written by the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse number 15. He says, "I know thy works." He said, I know what's going on. He said, "I know exactly what you're doing." And he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot." He says, I know what you're doing, and I know your works. And it's not that you're really cold on God, but you're not hot for God either. It's not that your works are cold, and it's not that you're sitting back and you're not doing anything, but it's not that you're doing it as if you're on fire either. It's not that you have any sense of urgency to you, any sense of excitement, but it's also not that you just don't care. He says, "I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot." He said, "I wished you were one or the other." He said, "But so because," in verse number 16, "so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He said, "I wish that you were cold, or I wish that you were hot, but since you're not and you're lukewarm," he says, "that just sickens me." But you know what? I'm afraid that I have spent a lot of my Christian life in a lukewarm state. I've spent a lot of my Christian life, and it's not that I'm cold on God, and it's not that I'm out here and I'm doing a whole lot of things that I shouldn't do, and it's not that I don't give a flip, and it's not that I don't love people, but it's not that I'm on fire for God either. It's not that I'm going out and spreading the gospel. It's not that I'm witnessing the way that I should be. It's not that I'm doing anything to try to be on fire for God, but I look and say, but at least I'm not cold either. At least I'm not doing things that I shouldn't be doing, but I'm just kind of existing as a Christian. You know what? I believe that the Laodiceans probably understood exactly what he was giving them here. Because like we said, they didn't have a good water supply here. They didn't have a good cold water supply, but yet they had these hot springs. But the hot springs was not fitting to drink. And as you look, I believe that he was giving them a word picture that they could understand. And if we look at our lives tonight, I believe that some of us, we can understand exactly what is being said here. He's saying, I wish that you was cold, because if you were cold, then I would at least know that you knew that you were not where you're supposed to be with God. You know what? I'd almost rather try to witness to somebody that knows that they're lost, that maybe even has, I don't want anybody to have a drug problem, but if they have a drug problem or they have an alcohol problem or they're just living like hell and the devil himself, then it's a lot easier to talk to those people than it is for somebody who's religious, than it is for somebody that attends church, than it is for somebody that has a knowledge of God, but they've never experienced a relationship with God, but yet they think everything's okay because they're going to church four times a month. Or they think everything's okay because they've been baptized, but yet they're lacking that relationship with God. It's so much easier to talk to someone, we'll just say it like I've always said it, that is lost as a goose than it is for somebody that has religion. And I believe that in maybe what God is saying here, he said, if you were cold, he said, if you just didn't care and didn't have love for nobody and you were not walking with God at all, he said, I would rather you have you like that. I would rather you be like that than to be lukewarm. I wonder sometimes if God looks at my life and says, Josh, I'm just really tired of you being lukewarm. I'm tired of you being religious. I'm tired of you just going to church on Sunday and Wednesday. And I'm tired of you studying just so you can preach a message. I want a real relationship with you. I want you to be hot. I want you to be where I can speak to you and you hear me. I want you to be to where I can ask you to do and you'll do it. I want you to be to where when I send somebody your way that they feel the power and the presence of God on your life. But yet so many times I'm afraid that I'm walking in that lukewarm state. I'm afraid that I'm not cold, but I'm not hot either. But he said, if you were cold or if you were hot, I think I could do something with that. But since you're lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Maybe you've never been in that lukewarm state. You know, sometimes I think we get in self-denial where we're at with God too. I think sometimes, you know, but the only thing that I have to do is look back at when God first saved me. The only thing I have to look, and you say, well, preacher, you was only 7 years old. What do you know about being on fire for God at 7 years old? You know what? When I was 7 years old and I got saved, the next day when I went to school, I told absolutely everybody I met that God had changed my life, that Jesus Christ had saved me. I didn't even really know what all that meant. I didn't know all the benefits that I had even gained. And I just knew that I needed to be saved, that I didn't want to go to hell. And I had asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. And I told everybody I bumped into that day that I had gotten saved. The first little paper that we had to write in class after that, I wrote my testimony. And I kept that little paper in my pocket for I couldn't tell you how long. But do you want to know now, each day? Now look, I'm not ashamed that I'm a preacher. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. But do you want to know how many people every day that I actually look at them and say, I can remember the day that God changed my life and he can do the same for you? Very, very few times. So you can say, well, You're not cold, preacher, but no, maybe I'm in that lukewarm state. Can you remember when you had that love for God? I know one of the other churches that he writes that you've left your first love, and that's not what he told the Laodiceans here. But he says, you're not cold and you're not hot, but you're lukewarm. You're just kind of existing with me. Your relationship with your wife ever went kind of lukewarm? Hey, you remember when you first fell in love with her, him, if you're here and you're a woman tonight. You first fell in love with your husband or you first fell in love with your wife, oh, it was just all googly googly and man, you just wanted to see each other. Oh, honey, if I don't see you today, I'm just not going to survive. And man, and you was just on fire. I mean, that's the best way I know how to explain it. And then now it's not that you're cold and it's not that you don't want to see them and it's not that you don't want to talk to them, but it's that you're just kind of existing. You know what? I'm afraid a lot of times that our relationship with God gets there, and that's lukewarm. That's just, and God says, that's not okay. He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth for that. Now, when I'm saying that, God's not saying that he's giving up on us or anything else. He just says, you sicken me. That state sickens me. Let's continue reading. Verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, we done talked about this being a great city and all of the great things. I mean, it was very profitable. And if you were there in that city and you were a merchant, or you were there and you were growing these sheep that was producing the wool that they was making this fine linen with, or maybe you're packing this eye salve up and you're shipping it all over the place and you're making money, man, everything seems good and it seems like God's blessing your life and it seems like everything's just wonderful in your life. But you know, sometimes that we know that everything that God has, that Satan has a counterfeit for, and sometimes that busyness and sometimes that profitability that we think is blessings is actually causing us to be lukewarm. Some things that we think that, oh, God's just blessing and everything that I do, that it could also be things coming in your life that's taking your eyes off of God and putting them on things here. Because look what he tells them. He says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest, look, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Absolutely nothing wrong with being rich, especially if you're paying tithes. There's nothing wrong with being rich. But no, you can have a lot of material goods that God can give you and you still keep God first in your life. But that's not what these people were doing. Because if these people were doing that, when he says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, this next part wouldn't come along if they were keeping God first. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He wouldn't have told them that if they was keeping everything in perspective. But sometimes I think what can cause, and we're not going to get into all that. I'm just kind of giving you an introduction tonight for the simple fact that the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want us to look at what can cause us to be lukewarm, and I want us to look at some ways maybe to solve being lukewarm. But I think, first of all, we've got to understand, am I lukewarm? Am I on fire or am I cold? I think I've experienced probably all three situations in my Christian life. I can remember times that, man, I should have been on fire. I had every right to be on fire. I mean, I've been in church, probably hadn't missed too many Sundays in my whole life. I'm not going to take a guess at how many Sundays, but I haven't missed a whole lot of Sundays. I haven't missed a whole lot of Wednesday nights in my whole life. And I have no excuse for not being on fire for God. And let's go even further than that. If I never walked into a church, but I've been saved by the grace of God and I've experienced the love of Jesus Christ, I have no reason not to be on fire for God. I should be so full of joy and happiness and just knowing that God loved me enough to send his son to die on a rugged cross for me. That should keep me on fire no matter what in the world's going on. But I believe I have experienced being cold. I believe I have experienced being lukewarm. And I have experienced being on fire for God. I have experienced being hot. But I'm going to say that that's probably been the least experience that I've had in my Christian life. I feel like that I've probably spent more time in this lukewarm area than I have anywhere. But I want us, as we go through this over the next couple of weeks, to look at some things that could cause us to be lukewarm. Are we lukewarm? And also, how do I change that? How do I get from being lukewarm to being on fire for God or to being hot? But he says, because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He says, you're lukewarm and don't even know it. Sometimes I think, you know what, I'm real bad sometimes. I'll dodge something and think, well, I've dodged this so I don't have to think about it. And just keep it in the back of your mind and it'll just go away. But your relationship with God is way too important. And my relationship with God is way too important than to sit down and go, this is where I'm really at. This is where I'm really at with God. I'm really cold, I'm really hot, or I'm really lukewarm. Our relationship is too important just to let it go. Verse number 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You want to notice that the things that he told them in verse number 17, he says, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He gave them a solution to that problem in verse number 18. He said, I counsel thee, or he said, I suggest that you buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. See, in verse number 17, he says, you say that you're rich, but you're really poor. He says, but if you'll buy this gold tried in the fire, you really will be. I ain't going to take the time to compare each and every one, but y'all see the comparison here in verse 17 and 18. White raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Verse number 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. See, ain't that amazing of God? See, right after he said, because you're not hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth. He says, the reason that I'm telling you this, verse number 19, is because I love you. I'm not telling you this to beat you down. I'm not telling you this because I don't want a relationship with you. God says, I'm not telling you this because I don't want anything to do with it. He says, I'm telling you this. He says, the reason I rebuke you, the reason I chasten you, the reason that I'm telling you the truth is because I love you. How many times have you set your kids down, or maybe somebody else that you love, and said, look, this might hurt a little bit, but I need to be truthful with you. Hey, when I'm correcting my children, I don't do it because that brings me joy. I don't do it because I just love to correct my children. I do it because I love them. I don't want to see them fall into that situation. I know I didn't understand it as a kid. I'm trying to understand it even more as an adult. Maybe one of these days my kids will understand that when I get to them and get real serious, I'm not doing it because, man, that just makes me feel big and bad to do that. I'm doing it because I love my children. I want to keep them out of trouble. I want the relationship to be what it should be. But he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He could have said, I rebuke you and chasten you because you are a sorry excuse for a Christian. You know you're not supposed to be cold or hot. I mean, you know that you're supposed to be hot. You shouldn't be lukewarm or cold, but I'm just getting tired of you. But he says, I love you. And then look what he says. So be zealous. Be excited. Be in a hurry and repent. Get our relationship back to where it's supposed to be. And if tonight, if we looked at our lives or over the next couple of Wednesday nights and we see that we're lukewarm, don't take it as, oh man, I've really messed this thing up and I might as well quit trying and there's no way I'll ever be hot. Look, be zealous that we have a God that loves us so much that he will point things out to us to get our relationship back in shape with him, that we have a God that loves us so much that he says, I'm going to rebuke you and I'm going to still love you and try to pull you back to me. He says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you to be hot. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now look, he's sitting here talking to the church. I know we use that scripture a whole lot about talking about salvation and man, how God will allow his love to knock at your heart's door and that if you allow him in, that he'll come in. But he's talking here to the church. And he's saying, man, I'm still knocking. I still want in. You know what? If you go somewhere and you knock on the door, that means that you want somebody to respond and that you want somebody to allow you to come in. That's what knocking is. Aren't you glad that God knocks and he wants us to respond? He could just be out there and be like, hey, they know where I'm at if they need me. They know where I'm at if they want. But no, he says, I love you so much that I'm going to keep knocking. I want you to respond. I want you to invite me in. I want to have that relationship that I have, that he has desired to have with us. Verse number 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This scripture is going to be very beneficial to us if we'll look at it. And I'm not saying because I'm teaching it. I'm saying you go home and you study it, because in the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to dig in right here for just a little while. And we're going to look about how that we can become hot. How that if we're in, I hope we're not in a cold state. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There's a good chance that if you're here on Wednesday night, or even if you're at home, and I'm going to put a plug in here, looking on Facebook tonight, because you had a desire to hear the Word of God, there's a good chance that you're not in a cold state. There's a real good chance. Because if you were in a cold state, tonight with it raining and a storm coming by, being a good night to kick back in that recliner and just listen to the rain and just mellow out. Because you've had a tough week. I've had a tough week. We've got a couple more days to make it. But I'm going to say that you're probably not in a cold state because you had enough desire to hear the Word of God that you've made it out or either tuned in one to hear the message tonight. So I hope we're not cold. And some of you may be on fire. I mean, you may be just flaming. Do you want to know what? When somebody's on fire, everybody else around it knows. You don't believe me? You ever seen anybody on fire? Everybody around knows, right? Ah! I mean, everybody knows they're on fire. If you're on fire for God, everybody around you is going to know that you're on fire. Hey, I touched myself with a lighter the other day, and my kids knew I was on fire. Doggone it. Oh, man. I was on fire. Or I thought I was for just a minute. But people around you know that you're on fire if you're on fire. And that's what I want in my life, is for people to know that I'm on fire for God. So tonight, if we've looked at our life and we're beginning to see some signs or some symptoms of lukewarmness, we've begun to see that maybe this Laodicean church age that received this letter and God was being brutally honest with them. God was being truthful with them. Hey, here's the thing. You notice when God first started writing here and giving them this letter, he says, I know thy works. He says, I know. And look, you might not admit it to me tonight, and I might not admit to you tonight, but you and God know exactly where you're at. You know whether you're cold, hot, or lukewarm. God knows. I'm not asking you to tell me, because I got my own problem. I'll help you any way that I can. I'll listen. I'll pray with you. But trust me, I got my own problem. So I'm not trying to solve all yours. I'm trying to solve mine as we go. We're going to look into this scripture. We're going to see if we have a problem with lukewarmness in our life. And it can be in certain areas of our life. Maybe I've got different areas that I'm lukewarm that you're not. But as we look here, I want to see what causes lukewarmness and how we can fix it. And I hope we go toward the hot side and not toward the cold side. But God knows our works. God knows what's going on in our lives. We might as well just fess up and say, okay, God, I know what's going on. I know where I'm at. I would encourage you to get in here and study this scripture just a little bit, because we're going to be here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe longer than that. Y'all know me. Sometimes I can't hush. So we're going to get in here and dig in just a little bit and see what God was saying here to the Laodicean church age, because you notice what the last verse said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. And God, I know that I'm nothing without you. God, I know that lukewarmness exists in my life. God, there's areas in my life that I'm hot. And God, there's probably areas that I'm cold. There's definitely things that I'm lukewarm about. God, I pray that you'll help me as we get into this scripture and we see the importance that it was for you to include this in your holy word and give it to us for instructions. God, I pray that you'll help as we dig into it, that I'll realize where I'm at with you. God, know that I need adjustments in my life. And God, you're the one that can make those adjustments if I trust in you. God, I know that you know my works and you know the problems that I have. You know the issues that I have. And I want to thank you for loving me so much that you're still knocking, and that you still desire a relationship with me. Jesus, I just want to thank you and praise you for this church. I pray that you'll just continue to move. Thank you for the way that you're saving souls, even when we